tonight with Randy Dyke, Joe Linebarrier, and Billy Osberg. Trackside Tonight is brought to you by Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, Deland Motorsports, Mopar Speed Shop, Volusia Speedway Park, and by Valvoline. To get in on the action, call 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. Now, here's Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back to Trackside Tonight. We're certainly glad to be with you, and we've been gone for about 3 weeks. I'm Randy Dye.
I'm Joe Linebarrier. Happy New Year, everyone.
I'm Billy the Kid.
Yeah, we hope and trust that you've had a good Christmas season, New Year, and got your, hopefully you're still keeping whatever few resolutions you made. We're only, 7 days into the year, and I'm sure many of them have already gone.
I thought when I showed up with the gummy worms, you'd give me a hard time, but that was not a resolution, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Well, if it was, it didn't last long, I'll say that.
6 days.
It's a fat-free food.
It's a fat-free food.
He says it, okay. Says it right on the label.
Okay. Well, we're certainly glad to be
on that joke.
Hey, you make that is again. I appreciate that Sharpie you carry with you. Yeah, okay. We're glad to be back with you, and it's hard to imagine that even though we were gone just a short time, that we're already, you know, into what ultimately is the swing of the NASCAR season. The racing season is shaping up everywhere, not just at NASCAR, but it would, you know, it wouldn't be appropriate if we didn't recognize the fact that the Cup guys are in town, and they're testing here at Daytona the car of today. We can no longer call it the car of tomorrow because it is what we'll see all year long. And this is the first of several tests that will happen over here, including the sports cars and other cars. And you know, it's Speed Weeks is really, I know that it's not the competitive part of Speed Weeks in terms of a winner and a loser, but it is definitely underway.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Of course, announcements coming from USA International Speedway for Speedfest 2008 for the CARS series, the Sunbelt Super Series will be there as well. North-South Shootout for the Modified. So big things over at Lakeland. Volusia Speedway Park, that schedule still underway for the 37th annual Florida Dirt Car Nationals. Folks, this year it's the 5th through the 16th. So it's two solid weeks of sprint car, late model, and modified action. New Smyrna Speedway, of course, the World Series of Asphalt Racing. And, man, everybody's got a program. North Florida Speedway up in Lake City has secured a deal with the All-Star Circuit of Champions, the 410 Sprinters. So first time on that little racetrack up there. East Bay with their normal deal. Of course, they'll have late models and modifieds and sprint cars. So, yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, it's really amazing. When you start to think about all the racing events that are going on around the state, and really not even, it's not too far from us. There's not, I think the longest haul we'd have and those things you just discussed would probably be Lake City.
Yeah.
You know, East Bay, Lake City Cup, probably comparable in terms of time from here. But boy, if you want to see some racing, there is a bunch of it, not to mention that you just opened an ad for...
This is something that just took off this past year in the summer, and Golden Isle Speedway up in Brunswick, he's going to run 10 nights before everybody goes to East Bay with the Super Late Models. He's going to run the 10 nights starting the week of Super Bowl, or the January, actually starts on
23rd.
January 23rd.
Yep, through February 2nd.
$10,000 a night to win the Supers and $10,000 to win the championship.
You know, it's really interesting, because I was talking to a guy today, and he told me he's going to run a truck at New Smyrna Speedway during the World Series of Asphalt. And I said, you know, and we were talking about the competitors and the competition and who and how what happens and so on. And I said, man, I said, you know, you just can't even believe what this is like. And I remember when I ran the World Series of Asphalt, 9 nights in a row. Grueling is, I mean, you know, by the time you get to the last half of it, I'm sleeping up in the camper, up in the top part of the trailer, and it doesn't matter what's going on. You can't, you just tune it all out. And it's hard to imagine that you sit in that bowl in that racetrack that you don't hear anything because you need to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, and not even need to sleep. You don't have any choice. You will sleep. But then, you know, everybody's getting in on the act. Brunswick, Georgia.
12 nights of Volusia.
12 nights of Volusia.
East Bay runs even longer than us.
It's amazing.
But I know where you're coming from. You get into that zone where you know, now as a driver, it's certainly a lot different. It's just as, taxing on the body, if you will, but staff, it's a little different than driving because, I mean, you're such a part of it. You are making this program take place, and just to be on top of your game every night, man, it's hard to do. It really is.
Well, I mean, I was whining about getting tired as a driver. The people that's the toughest on in terms of the race team is the team. The guys that are working on the car, getting the car prepared and keeping things right and fixing things that we run into and broke the night before. And all that. I mean, my job as a driver was the easiest of all of them. I mean, now, for me personally, because of all the other commitments I have around racing, it was busy. But the crew, I don't know how these guys do it. And, you know, the other thing you got to remember is these guys all have other real jobs. You know, so what they take this time as vacation time, and you do too. And it's... I know you by the end of your stuff out of you don't have a voice.
Used to be the third night now years ago, but I've learned to kind of pace myself, and I can make it almost to the end.
Yeah, pace yourself.
What is almost. That?
Almost to the end of the first night.
It's your fault as a driver. You guys get out there, and it's so exciting. Really.
Yeah.
I know that sounds stupid, but, man, it's really hard because I watch it, and, well, you know how I get. It's amazing.
Well, when you and Eshelman get together during when the World Outlaws come in, there's, you know, I wish we need to tape that. Do you guys ever done that? Have you ever taped your?
Him and I are not
scared to.
Right. We're not on tape.
Never.
Nope.
Well, you should
scared.
Do that. Then we could do that. We could take a break one Monday night. Let them just do this, and people would laugh and carry on.
We could do that and make money. We could sell them tapes of him and Rick together.
I talked to him this afternoon. He did the ice ball with four other announcers.
Ooh.
You know, he told me, hey, man, it's nothing like working with you, Joe. I said, yeah, whatever. I got him the gig at Volusia, you know, and I never let him forget that.
Okay.
But
I got him the gig at the World of Outlaws, too.
Yeah, I really did. And I think he owes me his life. But he is enjoyable to work with. He truly is, from a professional standpoint. And he told me, he said, man, I'm breaking out some new references for Speed Weeks. I said, well, let me know. What are they? He said, I'm not telling you. So we actually plan a month and a half of some new references. I said, well, I'll think of some Britney Spears and maybe some Dr. Phil stuff. And we will find a way to tie that into dirt track racing. You watch.
You know, if that's not the most amazing thing, Dr. Phil and Britney Spears. You know, anyway.
Oh, he canceled the show, by the way, late this afternoon.
I don't even want to get into
it. He said, what did he say? It was just too intense.
All I know is...
She said no.
Is if starting at the end of January until the middle of February, if you miss racing anywhere, you must not be in this state.
Oh, that's a fact. I mean, no question. Hey, you know, while we're speaking of racing and missing it, if you know, our market, and we've been doing this now since 1998. I started the show back in August of 1998. And so it's a long time. We've been doing a long time.
You are Florida's oldest, longest-running motorsports talk show, just in case you didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
We are.
Okay. Well,
anyway,
that's good to know. And you know, we've heard things over the years about the limited reach of the show and the small markets that we can only get to, and then we've gone through having the Internet and being able to expand our reach a little bit. People can get online and listen to us. Joe, you put together something that I think probably you and Billy being here has really added a professional element to the show, which has caused a very professional organization to pick up the show and run it. And they're listening. People out there listening via their site right now. Tell us.
Well, first of all, we want to thank Jack Smith. Jack Smith, of course, started Karnak.com, which is a Florida racing message board for the most part.
Used to be a venting board.
Yeah, it was, but it's really cleaned
it
up. It's kind of like the CB radio, you know.
That's
gotten a lot better.
Right.
Nonetheless, Karnak.com giving local fans, drivers, crew members, everybody an opportunity to keep caught up with racing, not only with message boards, but with so many different media outlets and so many different stories. And RealRacingUSA.com is, in fact, one of Jack Smith's babies, if you will. And we have entered into a partnership with Real Racing USA with Jack Smith. He was so generous to allow us to do this. So essentially what's happening here is we are being carried on Real Racing USA via the Internet, and we're able to be heard, of course, globally. We were before on WNDB.AM, but that does limit your resources. Nonetheless, we will, in fact, join a growing slate of motorsports broadcasts from Real Racing USA, Straight Lining with Stevie, that's a drag racing program, ASA Fastlane, Inside Florida Racing, Real Racing USA Live, and of course the debut coming up of NASCAR Fast Talk. Essentially, folks, go to Real Racing USA. You have three different vehicles to play this. Windows Media Player, there's Wind Media, there's another one. There's two or three ways on your computer that you can listen to this program. These will all be archived, and of course you can listen live on Real Racing USA or WNDB.AM, but we're very excited to be a part of the Real Racing family right now.
Does this mean we're celebrities now?
I can promise you that's not the case.
Okay, yeah, just check.
Not the case, but we got a celebrity on the line, and she's known, I think she's probably known over the Daytona Beach area more than we are. So hello, Jean, and Happy New Year to you.
Good evening, gentlemen. Happy New Year to you people, too.
How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Good.
I read something interesting in the sports page today about Bill Lester. I was glad to see.
I didn't get the chance. I had my, this, and I don't want any comments over it, Joe. I had my nose to the grindstone all day long, so I don't have any idea what's going on in the world.
I believe it. I've seen him. He's rolled up and everything in there.
What about Bill Lester?
He's going to be driving the type of cars that are racing Rolex. In fact, he's in Rolex. Coming up. Yeah, and according to the paper, he's got a job with the same people he's driving for in the Rolex.
Well, good. That's great.
Bill Lester's good.
Bill Lester's a good guy, and he deserves whatever goodness comes his way.
Yeah, like he said, though, he'd like to be known more than just a black driving, let's be known as a race driver.
Well, you didn't hear me say anything about his race. I said he's a good guy.
He said that all along, and I quite agree with the guy.
He's a gentleman, and...
he'll get his shot.
You know, and he really, he brings an element of class to whatever organization he happens to be with, so... Congratulations to him, and I hope that it develops into something really big for him.
I hope so too, because I like his style of driving.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said I liked his style of driving.
I'm not so sure. I always was a big fan of his driving style. Every once in a while, it got a little out of control. But you know, I guess that happens to the best of the racers.
Yeah, there you go.
Lester or Bush?
Yes.
I'll just check.
You guys are nasty tonight.
Uh-huh.
Well, no, we haven't even got started.
It was boring without you guys the last 3 weeks. I'll let you know.
Thank you, Gene.
We're glad that we have you to stick up for us, Gene.
Why not?
Well, you heard it. You heard the news that we were talking about, that we're being picked up by the racing community. I mean, the Karnak is definitely one of the more recognized websites, certainly within the Southeast.
Randy, let me just add, Gene, what this will enable you to do is download this anytime, day or night, carry it with you in your iPod, MP3 player in the car.
Now, that may be celebrity status.
I'm just saying, you can listen to our show anytime, day or night. You don't have to wait to the 8 to 9 times.
I'll make you a bet. If there's a way to know, I don't think anybody's going to download us to their iPod. I just don't think that's going to happen. If they do, they need to get something else to do, Joe. Okay, let's just put it that way, okay?
I hear you.
No, I don't have a computer and don't want one.
That's good. Stay off the grid, Gene. Please. Stay off the grid.
Yeah, those adult sites, Gene, are not for you, okay? Come on.
We'll know it's a huge move when we walk
out
of the
room. Why? Have you looked at them all, boys?
No. I just want to make sure you don't go there. That's all.
Okay. I thought you were talking from experience.
No, not me. Well, so
what's been happening in your lives for this last 3 weeks? What did you guys do that was so...
Billy.
Besides, have the usual stuffings for the holidays.
Well, Billy just came off a tour of Tennessee short tracks, and I want him to tell us about that.
Ooh, it sounds good. Yeah. I see Andy Hillenburg has got, Rockingham?
Rockingham.
Yeah. That's it.
You know something? I have a home up near Rockingham now, not far, just a little bit north of Rockingham, mm-hmm. maybe 30 minutes. And I have passed that racetrack so many times on the way there, and it's just such a... It's such a sad sight, and I'm so excited that they're going to do something with it, because it's been one of those things that just drives me crazy to drive by there and see that place not active.
Yeah.
And what's, you know, it's understandable, because it's a Rockingham, if you understand where it is geographically, there's no real easy way to get there. You got to come off 95, and then you got to go up 52, and you know, up past Darlington and around, and it's up US 1. It's out of off the beaten path. The interstate's not real, real close.
Yeah.
But it really hurt that Darlington County, Rockingham County communities a lot when it went away. And for me, it has a special place for me, because the first place that I ever drove a competitive race car and was learning how to drive I went to the Buck Baker driving school.
Oh, yeah.
And Buddy Baker was my instructor at Rockingham.
Buddy was?
Yes. So I really...
that explains everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like one of those things, man, we got it, you know. Well, hey.
I'm just kidding.
You know, it really is this one. It has a special place to me, so I'm glad to see they're going to have a race there again.
Yeah.
They wrote a song about that place.
Yeah, they did.
Good old Rockingham.
but really, I mean, we talked about the proximity of racetracks, and if you can't find something to do during speed weeks, you're crazy. Tennessee is known for dirt track racing, and of course, it's big late model country. But Billy will agree at this point, after being there, there are actually more truck tracks closer together in Florida than there are in Tennessee.
Probably.
There really are.
I was at Tennessee this weekend. I flew up in on Friday, and we went to a few racetracks and just looked and went to a lot of places that were closed that you couldn't see. And that's what happens when you travel at night. But, you know, we went to...
you travel at night because you don't want to be seen? Is that the deal?
No, we were just... When you get there and you start traveling, and next thing you know, I mean, you're so close to the time where it's like 20 after 4 and it was dark. So,
yeah.
But we went to the coffee. Kevin Coffey?
Mountain Speedway.
Yeah, he was on our show once before. We was at his place yesterday, and they were having open practice. And actually, one of Jimmy Owens' sponsors, his son is taking his debut in the late model. He was out practicing yesterday. It was pretty neat to see him. You know?
Yeah. There's a, you know,
and I think I read, too, that Hilton's going to run the Rolex this year, too. I read something.
James Hilton?
Yeah.
No, I think he's going to try to qualify for the 500, but not the Rolex. I
don't know, because they were saying Acker, that's it. Acker.
Well, I think
he's going to have to the Acker race, according to the weekend paper, I think it was.
Well, I think what they'll do is he'll probably try to go run ARCA, and then he'll be competitive, you know, try to get in the Daytona 500. As you know, I mean, There's 43 cars that try to get in the Daytona 500, and there'll probably be 60 plus that'll attempt to qualify.
64, 65 last year, I think it was.
Yeah, it's a big number.
It's coming up to us making that. We have to write down numbers. We was going to do that. How many we think is going to show up?
Yeah, how many is going to show up? Who we think is going to win the poll? Who we think is going to win the race?
Good Lord.
You know,
okay, take your winner. Let's pick the winners right off the bat, boys.
No.
I
want to wait and see a little bit about how both tests go.
Oh, come on.
I want to hear, let me say this to you. I saw something today in there was a photograph in the paper that I thought was impressive. Or at least maybe it wasn't on the paper, maybe it was on the web. I don't know. But it was Dale Earnhardt Jr. at the test today, and he didn't have a car. He can't test till the second session.
Yeah.
My point being, you know, ordinarily, the driver comes with his car, and that's all he comes for.
Right.
You know, he's there 1 week. Now, Junior can't get in a race car. You understand that?
I know.
He's out. But he's here, and I think that says an awful lot. That says an awful lot to me. I mean, the guy's wanting to make sure he understands what's going on with the Hendrick organization.
Right.
He wants to see all that these guys are doing. So when they get here, he makes the most out of it. I'm going to tell you something. I know it's a little deal to a lot of folks. Probably a lot of people just glaze right over it. But the fact that he's present in the garage, even though he doesn't have a car ready to practice, means to me that he is really serious about 2008.
He's my pick for the 500. I'm going to tell you that first thing out tonight.
Wow.
What?
Yep. He's my pick, so nobody else can pick you.
Really?
I went ahead and took you.
Ricky Rudd's Joe's pick, right?
Yeah.
Saw Ricky Rudd at one of the retirement homes this week.
He
was pushing himself up. And he was probably losing. I was riding through Tennessee, and it was him against Del Jerry.
Well, Randy's going to pick Michael Waltrip to win, right, Randy?
You know what? I'm going to be nice. Never mind. Yeah.
Why start off nice, Randy?
Well, let's just say this. I don't think... I would say that Michael Waltrip's car has the best chance of being the closest thing to being perfect as far as tech is concerned of any car there this year. I don't believe he'll make those same mistakes.
I don't think so, huh?
But I also think that that's still an organization in flux, and you know, they haven't quite made all their decisions yet about who's driving what.
I know.
And it's kind of late. Yes, those things ought to be decided. So, I don't know what the future looks like for that organization.
That's a very strong Lemmy went on, because there last year he was busted for cheating.
Well, that's what he's saying. He's going to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think
anybody can make that predicament.
I think the predicament is
he going to make the show?
Well, if he doesn't make the show, he's going to be legal doing it. Okay, I can just say that he'll be legal doing it. That's all I can say.
Oh wow.
But I would say with Billy, I think Billy's pick is a good pick. And I'm going to say something that I really don't want to say.
Uh-oh.
Oh, here we go. Let me take my headphones off because here it comes. Kurt Busch is going to win.
I think Kyle Busch could win. And that's...
Hold on. Can you go back on that?
Listen, it's like obvious this is not my pick. This is not what my heart says. But I'm going to tell you something. You talk about a guy that's got something to prove.
So you think that Toyota can win it?
I think if the Toyota... let me put it this way. If the car is competitive, if the motor and all that's competitive, and there's some issue there, but he was good in testing today, that he has as much chance to win that race as anybody.
Huh.
And I don't want to say that, but I mean, the guy's talented.
And he recorded it.
Yeah, I know. But you didn't ask me who I wanted to win.
Who you want to win?
Mark Martin.
I like to see that.
Oh, that's...
Did you see his car?
That's a sentimental favorite.
It's a little different.
Yeah.
It's different.
It's a little... I mean, it may be a little different. But.
We all know who I want all the way, with no question.
Jeff Gordon.
Right.
You guys die.
Ooh.
No. Ooh, yeah. Another one, Junior.
Well...
And I want to see him take the championship. And the first one out, Gordon.
Oh, God.
Yes, Gordon. You'll be the first one out of that race.
You know, it's good to know some things are consistent in this world.
We have
this
got a bite in there, Bill, that said that if Gene says Jeff Gordon will win the championship.
No, he will not.
That's what she thinks should win.
It's in there. I wish you knew how to get it.
No,
he deserves to win.
Yeah, he deserves to win the championship.
Her man is...
Gene,
you said it. It's on tape.
I'm just saying.
Oh, we are right.
Hey, Gene, listen, we got to go. We got another caller there. So.
Okay, good enough.
Thanks, Gene.
I want to say hello, and we're glad
Happy New Year, Gene.
Well, glad to be back, Gene. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, and where are you going? There we go. Okay.
Hello, Bob.
Hey.
What's happening?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Bob, my man. How are you, sir?
I am great, thank you. How are you guys?
Very good. Bob, of course, coming
back.
Happy
New Year. Happy New Year to you.
Likewise, man. You coming back from Lee Speedway up there?
I'm actually in Florida until the 18th, and I go to New Jersey Area Auto Racing News, which is a publication that's published out of New Jersey.
Right.
They're doing a promoter's summit, and they're actually paying me to go up there. They're flying me up there, and,
you know.
And they're going to pay my motel rooms and actually give me $300 to spend at the Atlantic City casinos.
that'll take nice. Like 3 minutes.
Yeah, right. What else has happened?
I don't know. I just I hear you guys on the radio, and I didn't know if you were just coming back after a holiday, and I figured I'd just call you to wish you a Happy New Year. And I don't know if you guys even talk about this at all, but I know you talk pretty much Florida racing, and I don't know if you really everybody knows what's happening in short track racing throughout the country. It's kind of everybody's backed up against the wall, and I mean, like this year, 13 racetracks closed. Last year, 9 racetracks closed. The year before that, 14 of them closed.
Big numbers, man.
And it's scary, and then you know, to hear what's going on at Volusia, it scares a little bit too, because I don't even know if, you know, there's rumors out on the street out here that they may not even have a weekly program next year. There's talk about that, just running speed weeks. And
well, Bob, I can tell you that is certainly, you know, you hear about this, and we've been hearing that for 3 years since Sturt has taken, you know, control of the racetrack. Nonetheless, I can tell you, I wouldn't consider myself an insider by no stretch of the imagination, but they do plan on running a weekly program.
Just did the schedule 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. But you do hear that a lot, Bob. I hear it every day as well.
Yeah, and then the other thing is that when I hear Ocala's covered their asphalt.
They have.
Clay.
That's done.
So, yeah.
Friday night program right there.
Is that a Friday night program?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Yep,
so,
absolutely.
I mean, I'm saying to myself, I wonder how what that's going to affect their weekly program. And,
right.
You know, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I'll tell you, I did some crazy things at Lee this year to put people in the grandstands, and I think that's why they're bringing me to New Jersey to explain to a lot of the promoters what I did. You know,
well, yeah, I heard it was, you're lucky you're going to New Jersey to explain to promoters. There was supposedly a grand jury convened based on what some of the things you did. So.
Yeah,
Bob, you would certainly be a great addition to Volusia, and I just wish something could have happened. I do.
I was talking to Howie Commander the other day. He had called me here, and I guess Tanya's out there, and she's going to be very good for you guys.
I've met with Tanya, you know, she's definitely sharp and knows what she's doing.
She's going to do excellent, you know. And I'm you know, concerned because my kid races there now. So
yeah.
And it's unfortunate that he's not racing while I'm here in Florida, because I'm heading back to New Jersey. Then from there, I'm going back to New Hampshire, back here for race week, and then back to New Hampshire the 22nd of February till the end of the year. So it's like my last year.
Bob, is Casey going to be back in the hobby stock?
Yes. Yeah.
Good deal. So we got
street stock, sir.
Yeah. No.
Well,
he's
we call it street stock now, but that's the 19th and 20th. We got a big 40 lapper. So.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm at the 19th and 20th. I'm in New Jersey doing that seminar.
Oh man.
I know. Right. I want to be with my kids so bad. You know,
of course.
Running and that kind of a deal, but
no doubt.
But I don't know if the public's aware of. You know, get out and support your short track. I don't care what it is, whether it's New Smyrna or what it is. Just, they're going to all go away. They're all going to be, you know, I'm being part of New England for so long and seeing, I've witnessed myself 9 racetracks closed in that area.
Yeah.
And it looks like there's one that's going to close again this year. It's way up in Groveton. It's Riverside. It's in financial woe. It's been for sale for a couple of years, and there's a manager there. And I don't think they're going to reopen again this year. And
well, Bob, is it just the sheer participation from the grandstands to the competitors? What is it? I mean, something's going on, and certainly it's not one thing.
Well,
but we're competing for that entertainment dollar. Is that simple?
You know, Joe, I've been involved in the sport since 1976.
I know it.
You know, on a promotional level. And back in those times, there wasn't a whole lot to do. The computers weren't up there. I mean, there wasn't a lot of entertainment dollars that you were fighting for. Either you went to the movies, the drive-in theater, bowling, or you went to a racetrack somewhere. You know what I mean?
Sure.
There's just so much to do, and particularly in New England, you only got 5 months to do it in because before the snow gets there. And
that's being very positive.
Yeah. A 5 month racing program.
When's the last time you spent 5 months in New England?
Okay. I hear that. You got from, you know, April to September, and with them, I mean, even in April weather can be bad too, but I mean if you look at May through September, those are the months that you can decent get a crowd, and then even at that you got to almost wait for school to get out before your attendance picks up on a Friday night, because Friday nights I run the speedway on a Friday night, and it's a tough situation. It's you got those guys that race here are dedicated, they're either closing their shops up or making arrangements with their employer to get out early. We start our program at 7 o'clock, and practice starts at 5, so, and to drive up 125, which is the road you have to take, and if you're coming from the lower half of into Massachusetts into New Hampshire, you're looking at an hour's drive, so you're looking at getting out of work at noontime or 2 o'clock to be able to make a Friday night program, which, again, those guys that are there are dedicated, I can only think of these guys I've known hundreds of racers that have got out of racing. They're either into fishing, boating. They're doing other things with their entertainment dollar other than, and, you know.
Look, Bob, at the same time you hear,
that's because they're broke.
Yeah.
And it doesn't cost a lot to go fishing.
Well, boat stands for break out another $1,000.
I don't know about that.
Bob,
my office overlooks Dick Bergman's office in Newburyport, Massachusetts. And there's at least 2,000 boats sitting in that little harbor right there.
Yeah.
And they're paying anywhere from $30 a foot, you know, anywhere from up to $22 a foot to $30 a foot, depending on their slip and where it's located.
I'm just talking about being relative to racing.
Exactly.
Okay.
I had a great day fishing Saturday. We went Saturday. I'll tell you about that. But they talk about getting young people.
How much do you have to pay for the fish at Walmart?
Nice and frozen. But Bob, they talk about we need to get our young people involved. That's all I see are young people in motorsports, from quarter midgets at New Smyrna to a very successful go-kart program at Volusia.
Yeah.
And they do come up on the career track, so I don't know what it is.
You know, and the other thing too, Joe, is I'm doing like 5 shows, winter shows up in New England, all the way up from Portland, Maine, all the way to Springfield, Massachusetts. And in those shows, you're going to find there's a ton of miniature motorsports involved.
Absolutely.
Whether it's go-karts or legends or dwarf cars or Allison Legacy cars. Yeah. Try to go through the stages. There's this one young girl here, like, she actually races for me now. She's not young anymore. She's 19. Katrina Candy, who got her start in a go-kart, went to Mini Cups, went to Allison Legacies. She's driving a full-blown late model. And she finished 4th this year, in points, but her dad has been involved in racing all his life. That's, you know, so, I mean, I'm looking at that dad part of it and saying, you know, he almost wishes she was a boy, you know what I mean, to the point where he's got her so much involved with the deal. And money's no object. I mean, we caught him cheating last year with a traction control device that cost $3,200.
Wow.
You know, so it doesn't seem to be any object with certain people.
All right, time out. You know, I know you're on a different subject, but, you know, there's a perfect example of the stage parent. I mean, you know, with all due respect, if you're going to get your kid and get him out in any sport, you know, the last thing you want to do is teach him how to cheat. And
I don't even know if she knew it.
Well, you know, I'm sure she didn't. That's my point.
Yeah.
But she becomes a victim of a stupid decision by her parent, you know, trying to give the kid
Randy,
an edge.
How long have you been involved in this sport? It happens every day.
I understand.
Every single day.
That doesn't mean that it's anything.
No,
it doesn't mean it's to be tolerated.
No, I didn't say it was good.
This girl has an advantage already because she's a girl who's having some success. And there are people in this business that are out there looking for that very candidate, that particular demographic, but they're going to walk away from it because a parent makes a stupid decision like that, and no company, no sponsor, nobody wants to be involved with that situation. And it's sad that a parent would be that short-sighted. That's all I got to say about that.
Well, I mean,
it happened here last year too. There was an issue.
Right,
okay,
right.
And it's. It's too bad that the kid, I'm not saying that the parent in this case locally did it, but the kid, regardless of who did it, the kid is the one that ends up getting the black eye. The parent goes on with their professional life and keeps going, and the kid ends up being labeled by all of his peers and all of the people around it and all the people in the industry as a cheater. And that's not fair. That's just not fair.
Yeah, but you know what? In all fairness to her, I mean, and I'm She's a real asset to us. She's a great spokesperson. Again, that situation happened, I think, only because I went to the PRI show last year and met with those guys. They had a little booth at the PRI show in Orlando, and I had a certain individual come up to the Speedway with it actually deprogrammed the traction control device. All he did was sit coming off of turn two, set about 60 feet off the racetrack, and held this little button, and it retarded the whole damn traction control device. So, I mean, it's now they've got these units, and if you go on the internet and type in traction control device, you're going to come up. They have a unit now that sells for $7,200. You operate it from your trailer. It goes from your trailer to the satellite to the race car.
Good Lord.
So, I mean, it's kind of crazy, but in the same token, it's the nature of this business sometimes. You know, if you don't keep it, we have strict rules up there. We impound the motors after two wins and bring them up to make sure they're dynoed. They're sealed motors. We're using the ZZ4 crate motor, $4,800 out of the crate, into the motor. Two wins, we take the motor and make sure you haven't gone into it. The motor's sealed. We impound the tires at the end of the night so the guys ain't soaking tires. We're trying to keep the cost down. And as a result of that, I think that's why our car count has increased.
Yeah.
The fan base, basically, some of the crazy things I did, I worked with a lot of social clubs and gave them tickets at better than half price on their tickets. They sold them to their organizations for a few dollars tagged to it. They raised some money. One night we had two social clubs in there. The Elks and the Eagles clubs were in the Speedway. We had a total of 1,300 new fans. So those things are helping out, but you're not getting that $12 ticket at the gate. You're getting $5 for that ticket as opposed. But those people are coming back throughout the course of the year. If they buy a hot dog and a hamburger, you come ahead anyways. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Bob, talk about dirt versus asphalt. Of course, you're a very successful asphalt track up there. But
yeah, I'm not
dirt teams are pretty healthy.
I owned a dirt track in Palatka for about 6 months. And
it
cost me $35,000.
Yeah, and that place is sitting empty right now. So.
I know, I heard that too, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I love dirt. Asphalt is much easier when you're talking about sponsors.
Yeah.
You're talking about getting sponsors involved. You're talking about hospitality. Asphalt's much better. But for the racer itself, dirt's a little bit more forgiving than asphalt.
And it's good to see Casey out there, man. I'm so glad he's racing. And he's one of the best improved drivers of 2007 in my book.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, I kind of missed that whole deal. In this, I only got one more year. I told him I'd give him one more year. I'm going to retire next year. And I'll be at an age where I can start collecting. So
come out and help me announce, man, and fill in for me once in a while.
Yeah.
Hard to find a good man, Bob, on the mic.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, I don't know. That's a little bit out of my territory.
No, it's not.
Matter of fact, I went up to see Mike when I first got in town here. Mike was running the kart series, and I told him if he needed someone to help him out. And so I'm kind of fortunate he never did call.
Bob, it's really a pleasure hearing from you, man, and we thank you for calling.
Thank you, guys. I enjoyed listening to your show.
Hey, have a good time up there in Jersey, man. See you.
Happy New Year.
Bye, guys. Well, yes, Bob. Bob got me started in this deal.
I know. I saw a tear coming down.
Oh, you know. He did. I owe a lot to Bob. I really do, man. I mean, he got me going out there when very tumultuous days at Volusia Speedway Park and things were kind of, you know, up and down. And he brought me in there, and that's where I've been ever since.
Bob Linebarrier.
14 years ago. No, it's Joe Watson.
If anybody else is interested in calling,
Our numbers are.
And want to take us all the way to midnight, it's 239-0033 or 800-927-0033.
We're going to be here on the Trackside Tonight Marathon. Our next guest is Miss Marilyn McCoo. She'll be coming in.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess we have been off for a while, huh? And I think we're still off. Anyway.
Bob took Gene's spot tonight.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was on for about 10 minutes.
This is the New England connection.
Yeah,
you know, we need to get the two of them together.
Really?
Uh oh, watch out! That's light up again. well, get into it. I want to make a point, and I think we did a lot of talking, and I'm not so sure that you didn't get a chance to comment, but I do think that Dale Earnhardt being in attendance at the racetrack for a test that doesn't include his car this week is significant.
So is this simply? I was a little removed when you were talking about this.
I noticed
he's out of the car. His test isn't scheduled till
next. He comes in after these guys.
Okay, but he feels compelled to be here to be a part of it.
I don't know if he feels compelled by anybody other than himself.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think he's here because it's a show of how serious, how concerned, and just how he's looking at the year right from the start. I mean, you know, Dale Jr. has this image of he likes a good time.
Oh yeah,
and I don't say that in any kind of disparaging way whatsoever, but for him to be here at a test that doesn't include his car, and you know there are several Hendrick cars. He's going to get the information, but he's here firsthand getting the information. And I think that's important.
Well, it is cool, but my question is, would, you know, when he drove for DEI, I mean, would they split that test up with a three-car?
It depends. It's not up to you. It's not up to you to decide. NASCAR decides when your car, what number, and where you finished in the owner's points, what days you test.
Oh, so it's not necessarily team-for-team basis?
No, okay.
I see.
No, if he wants to test, he's going to have to come back with his car. But he's here with another Hendrick car. And I just think it's big. I think it's a big deal that he's here. You know, how many times has he been around Daytona?
A lot.
Okay.
But I feel he's always been like this. I don't know when he has been there without his car in the past, but this is his nature.
I'm gonna see if I can get over there and talk to him tomorrow and come back and get a report next week.
This is Dale Earnhardt Jr. and you're listening to Trackside Tonight on Real Racing USA. That's all we wanted to say.
No. I want to know about why he's here. I mean, what's different? You know, about him being here this year. And to me, it just means he's starting early with a significant focus. And, you know, I think the other story, what, Billy?
I was going to say maybe he's trying to find some of the ninja bars he blew it up in the 400.
Oh, well, they are littered everywhere.
Have we been on air since we went to DEI?
Yeah, one time.
That's right.
Okay. But I think the other story is the Joe Gibbs racing move to Toyota. That's a big deal, and pretty remarkable, in my opinion, that early on, right from the start, they're fast. You know, Kyle Busch is fast, and Kyle Busch is going to be fast pretty much in whatever he's in, but it doesn't appear, at least at this stage, that there was much of a transition. You know, there wasn't a whole big learning curve because they're right at the top of the speed chart right out of the gate.
And, heard an interview with Jimmy Johnson today and how calm and cool and just how relaxed he was. I mean, being the fastest in practice. But off the air, they are off the mark from, you know, the traditional car, the old car. So they have some issues to overcome. But Jimmy Johnson clearly said, you know, it's almost like Atlanta. You know, we have so many little things that we need to work on. And they compared it with, you know, what's the difference in Talladega? Why are you looking at him
huge,
like that?
Huge difference.
Well, why are you doing that, Ben? Well, I hate it when you do that.
You know,
I hate it when you do that.
I was going to say, they turned the lap of 31-29 by the Jaguars.
Okay, that's good. That's cool. Okay. But no, really, let me get back to what I was saying. Talladega said they asked him, how different is that? Because they did race the COT there last year and here at Daytona. And Jimmy said, man, it's night and day.
Well, you know,
it's wide, it's smooth. Daytona has character that you have to handle, and they're working on handling.
Well, that's always been the case. It's always been funny that people will talk about that Daytona has to be a handling racetrack.
Black and white versus Talladega, right?
Right, absolutely. You know, Talladega's big, wide, open, go, go, go. And Daytona, if the car doesn't handle right, you're going to the back. And, The part that scares me a little bit about
it. The back's not so bad. Now, hold on a second. He was in the back with like 15 to go, wasn't he, and won the race.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're going way back, okay? I mean, now, if you back past the draft, okay? Okay.
How you doing?
Way back there, yeah.
Let me see your pin. Like this right here.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, nice.
I got it, Mac. Okay. I think with the speeds that I saw on the chart, you know, 182, 183 mile an hour, there's going to be... That 43 car pack is going to be like a blanket. You know, it's just...
Wet blanket.
It's... it really is going to... There's a lot of people...
Go ahead.
Do I do that?
Not at all.
Okay.
My sincerest apologies.
Okay. I've heard...
All respect. Please.
Okay.
Carry on.
See, he
carry
did
on.
Say with all due respect.
All due respect. Yeah, he gave me all the due respect he's going to give me.
Carry on.
I think that this whole... restrictor plate thing has the potential to get worse instead of better. When you know the car tomorrow, which is now the, of course what we're racing, and forget that car tomorrow stuff, but the new car bringing the speed down even lower, and I hope that they'll have in this last day of testing on each different group comes in, that they'll do something different with a little bigger restrictor plate. Because getting everybody around 183 mile an hour is, in my opinion, a formula for disaster. Everybody can drive 183 mile an hour, and they're all going to be around each other.
From 183 on the way here.
Yeah, anyways. And it's just not...
With a Dodge.
In my opinion, it's just not... It's not going to be safe, and it's going to be ugly. And I'd like to see him... do something with a little bigger restrictor plate.
Well, obviously they've looked at this plate in conjunction with the new car.
They have, but there's been discussion about a bigger plate for a while. We're giving them a bigger hole.
So there's only been one plate race with this car, right? Two.
Talladega.
One.
And,
one plate race.
That's right.
Talladega.
Oh, man, this is infancy.
And Talladega was follow the leader.
And it's because nobody liked the handling characteristics of the car. They were all concerned about the way that it went. Nobody was going to take the chance, and it became, I mean, it still was Talladega at the end, but it wasn't Talladega during the middle, and that's no fun. I mean, you know, I don't care where you go, 500 miles of watching somebody go nose to tail around a racetrack isn't any fun.
Circle of a train.
Yeah.
T.
Yeah, circle.
Nice. Very nice.
I just made that up.
Circle of trade. Look at the big brain on Bill.
Well, don't look for a copyright there, okay? But
hold on.
Look through here, see if you can see Joe.
Hey,
what's up?
Yeah. So I'm hoping that they do something to let the cars get a little faster. It's not the speed, just all about speed. I'm not interested in, you know, can we break a qualifying record or anything like that. It's just, I think there needs to be some speed to separate the pack a little bit.
Can we talk about this? When's the debut of the Randy Dakar?
Well, probably sometime in March. We've got...
No race weeks for you?
Oh, no. I've been there, done that, and you know, and the other part of it is...
I'll go with you.
Yeah, but we've been out.
No, you won't. You're going to be out. You're going to be busy.
I'll go with you.
They're about to fire him, Randy.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
The new race director.
Yeah, right.
I'm a new celebrity.
Hey, in the story, I do mention that he's climbing down from the flag stand and will begin his new position as race director in 2008. Big news, though, really, Bill.
I want to, in the story that got to the press about our program being to a Karnak.
I can read
real racing. Yeah, well, it's not that I ever lost my passion for racing, Joe. It was just that
you are just...
Yeah, I'm just taking
that whole thing you wrote, you must have just...
Nice. This one's nice.
Yeah, but you didn't do it very good.
Let me just...
You need to call us on the phone and get information. I'll just start making stuff
up. Well, he spelled your name wrong, too, Bill.
No, they're right on.
I'm just kidding.
I got a couple jacks on
my name. Randy Dye has revived his passion for racing and will begin the 2008 season with an all-new late model effort at New Smyrna Speedway.
Yeah, I've never lost the passion. That's just, I wasn't able.
After a horrible incident that almost disabled Randy Dye's racing career forever, he's decided to come back.
I'm glad.
Well, I mean, what do you want me to say?
I have never lost the patience. That's it.
Why are you looking at me like that, Bill?
You did good.
All right, thanks.
Yeah,
I'm going to need you to sign that and turn it into
a speech. He's a speechwriter for Mitt Romney.
Yes, sir. Yeah, better than Huckabee.
I didn't mean to do that.
We can.
Don't do that.
They win.
That's reserved for Mark Bernier.
Ron Paul.
Mark Bernier's show.
You're right.
It's his topic. Leave that alone. Okay. Okay.
Next thing you're going to tell us you're writing a book.
No.
Hey, let's go to the Volusia Speedway Park. Anything new about Winter Nationals?
Dirt Car Nationals.
Dirt, that's what's new. It's a new name again.
Dirt Car.
Last year it was, too.
Okay, well...
Last year was the first annual Dirt Car Nationals.
Now it's the 37th annual, so we've gone 36 years since
last year. In a hurry. Yeah.
I feel like it, too.
You look like it, too.
I know.
Now, the 37th annual Florida Dirt Car Nationals, it kicks off February 5th through the 16th. The only thing that might be a little different, Randy, is simply the dates. We're going to run, of course, 12 nights, but, you know, the dates change a little bit. We always lead up to the Saturday night before the Daytona 500, but, you know, the fans are going to get an opportunity to buy 5 tickets. You'll get 1 free when you do that. This is a super ticket, 6 nights of racing.
And, that's a good idea.
I like that. You know, very reasonable at only $175. That is very reasonable.
Wow.
Okay. And it's your only chance to see 6 nights of 410 sprint car racing in a row anywhere. Every driver makes the show every night. One of the best fields in the country, obviously. And it is always the...
Every driver makes the show every night.
That's it. Every driver races every night from a heat race to a feature.
Okay, you didn't
say every play on words there.
Yeah, you didn't.
You're right.
Every driver made every feature.
Every driver races every night.
Okay, I got you. Okay, very good.
That's kind of tricky, ain't it?
Yeah.
Did you read that or...
You know why you got that by me? I just didn't expect it from you.
Oh, nice.
Hey, can we go back to your buddy Bob's comments about? And I'm gonna pick here, and maybe he'll call back after he hears this.
Maybe we'll be done.
But he talked about the number of racetracks, short tracks that have closed. I have my own theory about this. You know, I still think that the good track owners with the good track promoters that understand that they have different clients. Obviously, the competitors are clients and customers. The fans are customers and clients. The advertisers are customers and clients.
Absolutely.
And when you have a good owner/promoter who recognizes that he needs all three of those... Okay, those guys still are succeeding. And they're not just succeeding, they're thriving. It's when they don't recognize the difference from the difference in the role that they take one of those three people. That's a three-legged stool.
Yeah.
And without all three legs firmly planted, it's not going to work.
That's just like our program.
The
one thing that people have to understand, too, that a lot of people don't look at, and a lot of your local racers, not your guys that are racing for a living, but your local racers are workers like me and like you, and most of them are in the construction business and other business, and with the economy bad like it is, let's face it, they can't go there and give you $100 to race for nothing.
Or $170 per tire.
Yeah, I mean, you got to understand that. You can't ask them to go there and not give them anything.
Well, I've had a guy a long time ago, way back years ago, and when I was in Alabama, and I know Rick's on the line, so you'll appreciate this, Rick. He was a very wise but very Alabamian guy. And he had to listen to the wisdom. It wasn't maybe the most articulate, but there was a tremendous amount of wisdom. And what he said to me one day, in the course of a discussion was, you can shear a sheep once a year, but you can only slaughter them once.
Wow.
By that, he meant, you know, you can make, if you're just willing to make a little, you know, you can do that more often over time. But if you got to take a whack one time, you're going to knock them out, and it's going to be gone. And you're not going to have that sheep. That sheep's not going to produce any more wool because it's dead. And ultimately, that's kind of, you know, some of these guys get too doggone greedy. And they get greedy and they get apathetic about, more often than not, the competitor is the one that suffers. They treat competitors like they're children, and they boss them around, and they don't thank them for coming. And you know, very few of these guys that race are doing so profitably. It's more about a hobby. And so at some point in time, if you're losing money, you're losing your shirt, and you're not having fun, you go home.
You need them.
Right. So, and they need to be considered, and they need to be thanked, and they need to be...
And they need to be thanked, like you said, every week.
Every week, right.
And they need to be thanked first thing, not and thank them as much as you can.
Right. Rick, sorry
hey
about
guys,
that.
What's
yeah,
going
that, was,
on?
That was my editorial. I'm running for track promoter someplace. I don't know if it's going
to
work.
Hey, I've got one for you to always remember, too. If you ever think about getting married, you can buy someone else's farm, but don't raise their corn.
Okay.
Nice.
That's good.
Yeah, you know, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free?
There we go. Okay, well, maybe I should invite you to my wedding in June of this year, huh?
Hey, I can tell you one thing, Randy. If you're going to do it as early in the morning as possible, so if it don't work out, the whole day ain't wasted.
Oh, my gosh.
Rick, let's talk about late models real quick. Just some news floating around. Steve Francis, of course, the 2007 World of Outlaws champion, going to Dale Beitler's team. But Tim McCready's going to drive some of Steve Francis' equipment in 2008.
Yeah, I talked to Francis back in December, and he alluded to the fact that McCready will drive probably five races. It looks like all the major events, Dirt Track World Championship,
Colossal.
Dream, World 100, Colossal. But some of the other things out of that thing, too, is he told me, and this is probably not to be said, but probably have all fell on the car at some point this year, which tells me that Ryan Newman's involved in this deal. If they're going to throw Altel on towards the end of the season. So
wow.
I think that's good news. But what about Shannon Babb joining up with Clint Boyer and Richard Childress to field a team out of North Carolina? Man.
Yeah, that's cool.
He's got it good now.
That is cool. And, of course, other news we talked about earlier this afternoon, Jimmy Owens, perhaps in a C.J. Rayburn, no longer in a Blomqvist chassis for 08.
What happened there? Wait a minute. Time out.
Yeah, here we go.
I heard all about this Blomqvist, you know.
And he dominated
him. Hand selects and how good he did.
You're right.
Okay. So,
okay, guys, here's
he'll
the
tell you
thing.
Why. Go ahead.
Remember, you got to sign a 5-year contract with Blomqvist and make no changes without his approval. Therein, the word at Talladega Short Track this weekend was that Owens moved rear shock mounts on the Blomqvist chassis. And, of course, the master found out, and that was the end. He was kicked out of voodoo land. And it's on pretty good reliable source, but it came from Mike Reese, Reese Monuments, who is the primary car owner of Jimmy Owens' 20 team. So even if he is in Rayburns, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of year he has not being with Team Zero.
Wow.
Who's the Weston guy? What company does he own? You know, there's a Weston. His kid was at Mountain Motor yesterday practicing.
I'm not sure exactly who that is. I've heard talk about it, but nobody is really.
The car looks like Jimmy Owens' car.
Yeah, he's actually one of Jimmy Owens' sponsors' son. I think it was the guy from Granite. That's what I think it is.
Okay, I know who you're talking about, but I'm not 100% on that deal.
Okay.
Gotcha. Of course, you were at the Ice Bowl, the Talladega Short Track, the Hornet's Nest across from the big speedway. 300 cars showed up for this thing?
373.
Wow.
83 late model sports and 76 super late, 95 crate cars.
Wow.
Well, you see, what he just said, okay, flies in the face of all the stuff that Bob said. You know, that's 373 cars go to one place. You know, I'm going to tell you what, they're not going there because they're getting treated like dirt.
No
offense, you know, no pun intended. Okay.
Right.
But they're going there because it's a great place to race. There's some history there. Obviously, there's nothing else competing with it right now. I understand that. But you're not going to go there if it's a bad experience.
That's right.
So somebody's got to have it figured out.
So, Rick, I mean, this was a decent night. Of course, track could have been a little better. Talk about it.
Yeah, track at Talladega has the reputation, daytime racing. You see it all across the country. Not dusty, just not much passing, a lot of rubber laid down. and pretty much warm weather on Saturday and Sunday, up in the 60s and 70s on Sunday there, and a packed house, watched a lot of Follow the Leader, but you know what, guys? Still, I always say my worst day at racing is still better than my best day at work.
Yeah, no doubt.
What's a packed house equate to there?
I would say in the vicinity of about 3,000 people, give or take.
Okay, still a lot of people see a dirt track.
No doubt about it. With gas prices, kind of surprising. It's getting worse and worse around here. I don't know what you guys are facing. I'm sure it's not good.
315? Well, no, today about 307.
Yeah, we're 303, and then up in Talladega was 310, so it's about the same across the south.
Yeah, I mean, you're right there on the Gulf where the crap's refined. I mean, come on.
Hey, you can live in North Carolina and still pay $10 for a pack of cigarettes, bro.
You're right, man.
What do you do?
That is true. Well, of course, we look forward to the 37th annual Dirt Car, Florida Dirt Car Nationals at Volusia Speedway Park. Place is ready for you guys, man. That's all I can say, Rick.
Well, I think, Joe, you're going to see this year a lot of different late model guys come down. I'm hearing all kinds of talk about drivers that have never been to Volusia Speedway Park coming for the Dirt Car Nationals in the late model division. And these are the guys that are also not going to Brunswick, not going to East Bay. They're going to just concentrate on six nights at Volusia Speedway Park. And, of course, with modified, I got a feeling you're going to see a boatload of them. We usually do. The Ironmen are always there.
Man, what do you think about Frankie up at Golden Isles? 10 nights preceding, or before, of course, Volusia.
Preceding and before, those are really about the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only one that has more money to lose than Frankie Lloyd must be Randy Dye, is all I can
say. Oh,
really? Yeah. Why do you say that? Why do you think he's going to lose money?
Well, I tell you, Randy, a lot of people plan their 2 weeks of vacation that they get at their work around East Bay and Volusia, or two straight weeks of Volusia, depending on what they like. Now you're throwing 10 more days in there, throwing the cost of gas, 10 more nights of motel, 10 days of food, the cost of tickets for 10 more days. You're either going to go to those 10 and be broke and go home, or you're going to go to a couple there, a couple at East Bay, a couple at Volusia, but still be gone 3 weeks, or you're going to pick and choose. I mean, same with the drivers. How can anybody weather 22 straight nights of racing at the cost everything's at?
Well, you know, I can't even imagine the 22 nights of racing. How far is that from Volusia?
We can be there. It's just north of Jacksonville. We've got there 2.5 hours, Billy.
That's pretty tight.
That's doable.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
That's pretty close, particularly given, you know, the length of the program.
Yep.
For the racers, it's a dream, Randy. You got 10 straight nights, 10 grand purse each night. For the racers, it's great. Is there going to be anybody in the stands? Good question.
Well, you know, the thing that's amazing, though, when you think about 22 nights of racing, they're going to do it in a less than 1 month.
Right.
And that's more nights than most guys' season is, you know, weekly season.
You know what that tells me? Tells me I need to get lucky and hit the lottery so I can hit all 22 nights.
Rick Esserman, take a look at the 2008 schedule for the World of Outlaws. 53 events, and you guys are going to Golden Isles, one of those events.
Yeah, it's going to be a neat little swing. Fayetteville, North Carolina, Screven, Georgia, and finish it off at Brunswick, Georgia. You know, we haven't been to two of those three speedways with the series, so it's going to be an interesting little tour right there. And
I've got
a feeling you're going to see a lot of different guys.
Have you ever been to Screven?
Never, and this is going to be a first, Billy.
This is a neat little place, man.
How about Fayetteville? How about Fayetteville? I'm not where I have a home in North Carolina isn't far from there, and I'm just curious.
Well, I've been by the track, seen the track, but I've never actually seen a race there. It looks kind of neat, too. I mean, we're going to so many different tracks we haven't been to this year. It's going to make it interesting out the races for the fact that nobody has notes on these places.
Well, that's 53. And what's typical, Rick? I mean, if a World Outlaws guy is going to try to run this series, how many of those 53 events is he going to make? All of them?
If he's a contracted driver, he'll be at every show.
Lord have
any news on losing or gaining any contract drivers for 08, Rick?
So I do know that the powers that be are working on signing the top 10 in points that we had from 2007, and all indications are that all drivers are pretty happy with the schedule. So my anticipation is that 100%, you know, redraw of those 10 guys plus whoever's going to run for Rookie of the Year. And as far as Rookie of the Year goes, it is a wide open crapshoot. It could be anybody and everybody. You never know, Joe, until you and I start that Thursday night to see who says, let's do it.
Looking forward to that. We're going to tape some too. Rick Esserman, we got less than 30 seconds with the World of Outlaw Late Models. Thanks for calling, man.
Guys, thanks a lot. And still, I always say the best talk, racing radio talk show there is.
All right, thanks.
Happy New Year, bud.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys.
53 nights.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. Every year they keep growing. This is their fourth straight year. Or is it fifth? But they're doing pretty darn good.
Well, listen, we're really glad to be back with you. We're going to try to continually upgrade and improve our program over this year, and we're going to be real good about bringing you results from every place. Joe, Happy New Year. Billy,
likewise.
Happy New Year.
Thanks,
all you
producer, and good to see you, Phil.
All that you've been listening, Happy New Year, and we'll see you next week. Good night,
everybody.